Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap for Tuesday, March 20th. Charlie here with you. We are SnowtapWI. You can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowtapWI. Subscribe to us iTunes and Twitter, SnowtapWI. It is also a website, as you know. So the last, like, I don't know, 2 weeks, two and a half weeks or so, we've had just loaded show. Loaded show after loaded show because of the free agency news, because of March Madness. We were just packed to the brim every day. We had a topic, and the Packers were making moves, so that helped things out. And today, everything has screeched to a halt. There is nothing to talk about. Like, we got the Bucks thing. We're going to talk about the Bucks, and we will talk about the Bucks, but literally, it's the Bucks and a bunch of random fire questions. And I took some from Twitter. I have one. Got shout out KS. He gave me a topic. We'll talk a little bit about that. I'll leave my Twitter account open just in case I get one as I am taping. So this is going to be a little bit different of a show, and I think that I have to get used to these because there's going to be times in the summer where we'll just have the Brewers and that'll be it. So I hope you guys enjoy. Maybe a little bit more off the rails than usual. But maybe by the time we get back for Daily Tap on Thursday, we'll have the Sweet 16 ready to roll. Mitch Pratt and I will be in the studio tonight, taping Tapping the Keg, where we'll talk about a variety of things to get you set up for the rest of this week, as well as talk about what happened last week as well. Let's discuss the Bucks. So if you thought that Milwaukee would develop some consistency and maybe win a third straight game, they didn't. They lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers 124-117. LeBron James had 40 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. He was a man on a mission, especially in that third quarter. He basically was like, LOL, it is now my time to dominate. And the Bucks really have nobody who can stop LeBron, and LeBron just took it to town. Giannis can only do so much. The Bucks were no match for the King, who also found so many people open for three-point shots, and the Cavs hit a bunch in their own right. Calderon Corver, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, they were all draining threes. The Bucks really had no answer for what Cleveland was bringing to the table today. Is it a frustrating loss, or is it just what we come to expect for the Bucks? Right? I have something coming out today, SnowtapWI, it's a website about making the Bucks fun again. I don't know if we can get back to the Bucks being fun. I think that this is just sort of a rudderless ship at this point, because it seems like the Bucks are tired. It seems like Jason Kidd wore these guys out early on in the year, and they just don't have the energy. I mean, you see it a little bit from guys like Jabari Parker, Brandon Jennings, Thon Maker, and Thon's a surprise, but he showed some energy today. But the Bucks just lack this sort of fun element to them, and they should be fun. They should be a fun team. They literally have some of the best young talent in the league, and yet it is not fun to watch the Bucks anymore. I am not having fun anymore. This is not fun. And you ask yourself, why is this not fun? And it's because you just see the same shit over and over again. You see Brandon Jennings and Thon give great minutes, and then Eric Bledsoe, John Henson come in and fuck it all up. So what the hell is going on here? It's just like they just can't put it all together. And it's so frustrating because you've watched it all season. It is almost the end of the season. We are less than a month away from the NBA playoffs, and the Bucks still haven't put it all together. We kept saying they're going to put it together. They're going to figure this out, and it's still not happening. So maybe my whole emotion of, wow, I just have to talk about the Bucks. I had to dig down deep for this. But really where it comes from is I am sick of watching this fucking team. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of watching the same bullshit every night. And I apologize for being ranty like I was when they lost to the Magic. I'm not taking every loss like it's the last thing and I'm playing My Chemical Romance and jamming out. But I can't keep watching the same bullshit. It's game after game. It's disappointment after disappointment. I mean, holy hell. You'd think the Bucks were a 21-year-old drunk college kid at a bar striking out every fucking Friday. You know, basically every hot chick is every good team in the league. When's the last time the Bucks beat a good team? Anyone? Anyone? It's been a long time. It's been a long fucking time. And yet they, and so when that's when the losses to the Magic get magnified, because you can't beat teams like Cleveland. If you beat Orlando last week and you're coming into the queue with a 4-game winning streak, okay, you lose to Cleveland, that's fine. You got a Clippers team who's halfway decent but play zero defense, so that game should be just an absolute shootout. And then you get Chicago on Friday, and you get a wounded San Antonio next Sunday. Like, you can easily make this a 3-1 week, not a problem. But this team just doesn't seem like they care. This team just seems like they want the season to be over. It's like, do you guys even want to make the playoffs? Like, that is, I think they do, but I don't know. I feel like the Bucks just want it to be over. I just feel like there is something about them that's a poison pill. That the mesh of characters that Joe Prunty is not getting through to them, just like Jason Kidd was. And I'm not going to circle back and say, well, was Jason Kidd not the problem? No, Jason Kidd was the problem. Let's not confuse this. But Jason Kidd developed this negative culture in the locker room that has festered into the players. And getting a new coach didn't completely clear it out. Instead, it has stayed there. It went away for a little bit. It was like a cold, right? And then you touch something that's still infected and you get sick again. That's basically what it is. They still have kid disease. Kid disease never left. The Bucks are still suffering from it. And yet, I don't know what's going to fix it. I don't know if the Bucks can fix it. I need a sign. Like, I need a sign from this team that they're ready to fix it. If that means getting hot and getting rolling in the playoffs, great. I don't think Eric Bledsoe is the right fit for this team. I've been holding that in for a little bit, but today showed me some things. I gotta watch a little bit closer, and maybe I'll bring Mitch into this tomorrow when we can talk a little more about it. But like, Bledsoe, man, he doesn't necessarily, you know, Brandon Jennings looked like he was doing more for this team and getting Giannis the ball and getting Jabari the basketball and finding Thon, and like, Bledsoe needs to get his shots. And so there's just one basketball, and you almost need a point guard who's going to be thinking about pass first than what Bledsoe's been doing, because he just doesn't necessarily fit. And it's like, yes, you keep doing puzzle pieces with Giannis and you're finally going to see it. And I feel like this year, you have the perfect amount of games. I think last year it was still a little bit undefined. You saw Giannis' greatness and you thought, yeah, he's going to make a leap. Well, Giannis has definitely made a leap this year. And now you can say, okay, here's the guys that are around him. Here's the type of team we should build around Giannis. Because right now, this isn't the team. This isn't the team. And we talked about Chris Middleton being an issue. I think Bledsoe may be an issue. I think the only one where I feel good about is Jabari Parker. And so, yes, I think Jabari Parker needs to be signed. I think there's no question about it. But I'm trying to think what would make me think this team. I just would want to say, I guess here it is. And here's where we'll leave it, and then we'll go into rapid fire here in a moment. I think what it would take for me to say that the Bucks are fun again and the Bucks are going to provide me with some April experience is that they play a full four quarters against a halfway decent team, not a Memphis, not a Chicago, a team that actually is caring. Like, if they go out and blow out the Clippers, they'll be like, oh, that's interesting. Clippers don't play any defense, but that's an encouraging start. Number two, it's not getting lackadaisical against those shitty tanking teams. Not letting Chicago come back from a 16-point deficit like they did with New York. Not letting a team just waltz their way back into the game. Instead, putting down the hammer and blowing their asses out. You don't need to play a perfect game, but you do need to sort of enforce your will a little bit. And I think that's the other thing that's missing, and maybe that's the third element. The Bucks do not enforce their will. They don't just put the pedal to the metal and say, hey, look, this is what's happening. Whether you like it or not, we're coming through here and we're playing our game. Instead, they let other teams dictate how things are run. And maybe get into a fight. I don't know. Just do something. Just make this more exciting, because right now, I don't know. I don't know how much is left in me. I'm yearning that baseball is like 10 days away, less than 10 days away, and it's going to be there, on next Thursday. I can't wait because you watch what the Brewers did with the Sandlot video. I'm not saying the Bucks couldn't do the same, and I'm not drawing a parallel, so don't get me on this spicy Skip Bayless take. But you just are like, wow, they're having a lot of fun. It looks like it's fun out there. So hopefully that can carry over into the regular season, because the Brewers definitely had a lot of fun last year. They were a team who didn't take themselves too seriously all year, and they don't look like a team that's going to take themselves too seriously this year either. So maybe the Bucks need to borrow a little something from the Brewers and just need to go out there and have fun. Like my man Ricky Rubio once said to former T-Wolf Lexi Schved, Lexi, get a smile on your face. Smile. Be happy. Enjoy. Like, that's what the Bucks need to do. Smile. Be happy. Enjoy. Don't act like basketball is such a fucking chore. And John Henson, maybe wipe that fucking smirk off your face once in a while when the Bucks are losing. Just a thought. Just wondered. But hey, enjoy the nightclubs, dude. Like, that's your thing. Like, cool, man. Whatever. All right. So that got a little intense. I mean, it's a slow day, and I'm just ranting and raving. I've had it, guys. Like, I really have had it with the Bucks. And I didn't realize I reached a breaking point till I was looking at my notes, and I'm like, I have to talk about this shit yet again. It's the same fucking thing I've been doing all the last month. So I was done with it. All right, let's hit some rapid fire. So apparently, Donald Trump Jr. is getting a divorce from his wife, Vanessa. And apparently, he had an affair with Aubrey O'Day. What the hell? I used to be a big Aubrey O'Day guy when she was in Danity Kane. Like, I thought Aubrey O'Day was a smoke. Now, granted, she was a crazy smoke, but Aubrey O'Day was hot. Like, we had a Playboy. We had her Playboy in one of our apartments, and, like, that was when Playboy still was kind of cool. Like, I mean, yeah, we had porn and everything, but, like, Playboy, it was still a thing. Like, you still did Playboy. I mean, nowadays, she'd do a sex tape if she wanted to. She'd to get attention. Like, that was the thing to do, and she looked great. That was a great Playboy spread. If you've never seen it, recommend it. My guy KS asked me, shoes on or shoes off in the house? Interesting question. I am sort of in between. I do a little bit of both, but actually, what I really enjoy the most, what I am right now, is I'm rocking a tank and some joggers. This is why I don't film these. I may start, and if I do, I have to like actually wear stuff that is not like complete hobo shit. But barefoot, man, I love being barefoot. I enjoy being barefoot all the time. I walk around as much as I can without any socks or any constraints. I'll wear shoes barefoot. I just enjoy the lack of separation. Like, I just, the feeling of being barefoot is beautiful. I swear I'm not a hippie. Swear I'm not high either. But I do love, there's something about being barefoot in the grass. I like cutting grass with being barefoot. I know that's very dangerous, and I could have definitely lost a foot here and there. But cutting grass in your bare feet, can't hate it. It's awesome. So thanks for that. Thanks for participating. StoneTapWI, it's Twitter account. Vanderpump happened. Mexico trip, always really funny. So for those who do watch Vanderpump and do dabble in the Bravo on a Monday night, they went to Mexico. They have this kick-ass resort, which I'm pretty sure the resort they're at Playa del Carmen is the place they play the OHL Classic in the fall for the PGA. And it's like, okay, these guys are like, they do appearances, they do this, but like Bravo, like Andy Cohen has to kick in. Like, there has to be part of that budget for the season. And it's like, okay, the Mexico trip. Like, you guys are going to act like, oh, we all have to go to Mexico. We all have to do a group trip. But they always find a way to do a group trip. And it's for Jax's birthday, which is hilarious considering he cheated on his girlfriend. And yeah, still gets to swim around a private pool with his topless girlfriend with her implants they paid for. What a life. Also, there's a weird war against Pro Football Focus. Michael Silver, Big J journalist himself, driving that thing. It's so weird, man. It's so weird how football people just don't want to accept analytics. Like, they just can't understand it. Like, they're too much meatheads to really understand it. They're like the short Marines that we met in Rosie's who tried to start a fight with us because I called them boys. Like, that's how I picture, and which is a story for maybe Tapping the Keg tomorrow. But, like, this is just like, I don't understand it. Like, I don't get what these people have a problem with Pro Football Focus. It's a good website. It's a good barometer. It is not the Bible. That's just like every other analytic model in basketball, in baseball, in hockey. Don't treat it as the number one fucking thing. Treat it as like the fifth or sixth thing, or the second thing, or the third thing. Like, take a look at it from a wider perspective. Then and not be such an old man about things. I do think people sometimes get a little too deep in film sessions and a little too deep in all 22s and think they're a defensive coordinator all of a sudden. I'm with you, but I think it's still a useful tool. Use all the resources that are given to you. Take that into consideration and then make your opinion. And if you still think this guy's trash, fine, whatever. Fuck it. A couple of injury stuff. Warriors. Draymond Green hurt. So now the fourth Warrior injured. It doesn't look like Draymond's going to be able to play. Like, he has a pelvic contusion, which means he bruised his thigh, which I don't even know if that's your thigh. I don't know where you're bruising. That does not sound fun. So he's probably out for a couple games. Like, are the Warriors going to cover in time to like be all right? Like, are they in danger of losing the second seed? I mean, I still think the Warriors can make it, but man, got to start wondering a little bit here about Golden State. I mean, they only scored 75 points today against San Antonio, who get a much needed win. And let's see here on the standings. I don't look at standings anymore since we know where the Bucks sit at that 8th seed, just casually there. So the Warriors are definitely going to be the 2 seed. The Blazers are 12 games back of the Rockets, and they're 8.5 back of the Warriors. So they're a 2 seed no matter what. So they can put this whole team on ice if they really wanted to. But it's crazy to me that they're such a struggle for them right now. Also, a little baseball news. Justin Turner breaks a wrist. They don't know how long he'll be out. Huge loss for the Dodgers. Probably the heart and soul of that team. One of their best players. He's now probably shelved at least for 2 or 3 months. You got to wonder what that necessarily means for the Dodgers. I do know a first baseman, if they move Bellinger to third, who, you know, Jesus Aguilar, maybe he could play a little bit. I swear to God, if you motherfuckers bring up Ryan Braun to the Dodgers, I will slap every last one of you. And please let me know if you are doing that, so I'll come to your house and personally slap you. And then finally, speaking of the Brewers, Sandlot video, fire flames, fire flames, fire flames. We blogged it yesterday. It's all over. Just went absurdly viral. Good for them. Happy that they got a win like that. Good to see it. But all right, guys. Well, how about that? Rapid fire and a Bucks rant, and we go nearly 18 minutes. So appreciate all of you. SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We have a website. Also subscribe, iTunes, and Google Play. That's the other one. That's the Androids for you poors. And we will talk tomorrow. Tapping the Keg, Mitch and I will probably be a little more construct. Definitely talk about all that's going to happen with the Sweet 16. Look at the Packers situation with the corners. Are they similar to the Brewers? That's an interesting little nugget I will leave you with. It's called a tease in the business, folks. So, okay, you guys have yourself a good Tuesday. We'll talk again on the Daily Tap on Thursday. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.